All right. How you guys been?
Good.
I have missed you. It's been 3 weeks. Some people came to Starting Point last Sunday afternoon and I taught it. And I was just like, man, I'm sorry, guys. I haven't preached in 3 weeks and you're just going to get it. So you guys might get it. You okay with that? Some of you, I heard he bring it on. Wow. Are we fighting? No. I have a question for you guys. Some of you are techies. Some of you aren't techies. I am. How many of you own an iPhone of any kind? iPhones. Raise them high. How many of you got the iPhone 4? The new iPhone? Just me and Ryan. That's okay. I did. I got the iPhone 4. I did the thing where I ordered it online. So I didn't have to wait in line, and delivered it to my house, and I plugged it in, and I love it. I do. I had an iPhone 3G, and now I have an iPhone 4. And yes, I do feel more complete as a human being because I have an iPhone. Yes, I'm a nerd, but I do. But as I was thinking about the iPhone, I was playing with it because that's what you do when you get a new toy, and it is a toy. I was playing with it the other day, and it kind of occurred to me that as much as I love the iPhone, I think the iPhone's fantastic, but as much as I love the iPhone, there is another component to the iPhone that if I didn't have it, would make the iPhone kind of useless, and it's iTunes. How many of you use iTunes? Do you know iTunes? Y'all know the rule. I can't see if you raise your hands. You have to let me know. iTunes, all right? And for those unfamiliar, iTunes is a piece of software you download. It sits on your desktop, on your computer, if you don't know what a desktop is, on your computer, and you can buy music on it, all right? You download songs, that kind of stuff. Now, you know, I remember a day in time. I'm really old, so this is one of those back-in-the-day stories. I remember when you used to have to get in the car, drive to the mall, get out, park, go inside, buy these little boxes called CDs, and then you take them home, and you'd actually put them in a little thing that, yeah, what? Those were the days, right? A long time ago. But we don't have to do that any longer because we have iTunes. iTunes has our music there. And in fact, iTunes is adding more and more stuff to the music. I'm convinced that within 5 years, I'm going to be able to order pizza on iTunes. I'm going to be able to pay my bills on iTunes because they have music. They have TV shows. They have movies. They now have basically computer games and software for my iPhone. They even have these things called iBooks. And if you're confused, books used to be the thing that you bought. They were about yay big, and they had pages in them. You'd turn them, and you'd read them. But now you download them and look at them on your iPod or your iPhone or your iPad. But anyway, this is really about iTunes. I like iTunes. I'm not making fun of iTunes. I really like iTunes. One of my favorite aspects of iTunes is that they've got this feature on it called iTunes Essentials. Have any of you ever used iTunes Essentials? It's fantastic. Because what you can do is you can say, you know what? I am in the mood for some 70s rock. And who's never in the mood for 70s rock? So you go into iTunes Essentials and you type in 70s rock. And right there are the essential songs that you need to know for 70s rock. They have 80s love songs. They have 90s one-hit wonders. And basically what they've done is there's a group of experts that have come together, and let's say the artist is Bob Dylan, okay? And so there's a group of experts, music experts. Ooh, can you imagine hanging out with music experts, by the way? Wow. So there's these music experts who come together, and what they've done is they've kind of argued, and they said, okay, let's take Bob Dylan. Somebody wants to learn about Bob Dylan. They want to learn his music. They want to know what he stood for. They want to know what he was about. We've got to come up with a list of 15 songs that we are going to say are Bob Dylan essentials. These are the 15. If you know nothing else about Bob Dylan, these are the 15 songs that you could listen to and say, okay, I get it. I kind of have a taste of who he is. I understand what he was about. I know if I like Bob Dylan or if I don't. If you come down on the side of he has a great voice or an awful voice, after those 15 songs, you can decide that. And that's what iTunes Essentials is they've honed it down to say, if you want to know about this guy, you want to know about this time period, you want to know about 70s rock, these are the songs you have to know. These are the moments that matter. This is the music that matters. Now, the reason I'm explaining all that is because the series we're in now, Essentials, that pops up from time to time, is exactly the same thing. What we've done as a church is me and the staff have kind of sat down and decided, what are the essentials? What are the things for someone who may be new to Christ, new to the church, new to Wellspring? What are the things they have to know? What are the things that we as a church say, these are important, these are essential, these are the things that matter? You have to get this if you want to be a Christ follower and if you want to have a productive walk with Jesus. What are those things? And so that's what this series is. It pops up from time to time. We did one in January about the Bible because we as a church believe the Bible is essential to thriving as a Christ follower. And if you want to check that out, you can get it on iTunes and a podcast. It's there. And today we're going to talk about another essential, another thing that we believe is vital to thriving as a Christ follower, and it's baptism. We're going to talk about baptism today. And so what I want to do right at the top is kind of give you a statement of what Wellspring Church believes about baptism. And then we're going to spend the rest of the time today explaining why. I'm going to walk you through why we believe it, where we get from Scripture, and why it's so important to us. So here it is. At Wellspring Church, get this, we practice believer's baptism by immersion. That's what we believe is vital to becoming a Christ follower. So I'm going to pray for us real quick. We're going to dive right in. Let's pray. God, I just ask right now you bless these few moments we have together. Lord, as we look at your word, we look at your example of what you've laid out for us about the step of obedience called baptism. God, just bless our hearts and just keep us moving towards you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm going to give you, today I'm going to give you four reasons why we believe in believer's baptism by immersion. All right, that's what Wellspring believes, that's what we practice, that's what we do. Here we go. Number one, we believe new believers should be baptized because Jesus commanded it. That's pretty simple. It's commanded. All right, in your Bibles, I'm going to have a lot of scripture today, so if you want to follow along, you can. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. But if you look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20, you may have heard this verse before. It's called the Great Commission, especially if you were Baptist. If you grew up Baptist, you've heard of the Great Commission. But basically what's happening here is this is Jesus' last moments with his disciples. They watched him die on the cross, and he came back to life. He spent about 40 days with them. He's appeared with them, and now he's leaving. This is it. Now he's saying, I'm gone. And first thing he says, he looks at him, he says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. All right, so in other words, what he's saying is, look, I know you guys may still be confused. This has all been kind of weird. But trust me, I have all authority on heaven and on earth. In other words, I am in charge of everything. It's all good. You picked the right team. You're going to be fine. And then he says this. He adds the therefore. He's saying, because that's true, because I have all authority, therefore, it says, go and make disciples of all the nations, keyword, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So it says, go and make disciples, and it says, baptize them. And see, if you've been in my Wellspring at all, you've heard me talk about this because that's what Wellspring exists for. That's why I moved here from Texas. It's why Eric moved here from Texas. It's why TJ moved here from California. It's because we believe God wants to do an amazing thing here in Myrtle Beach, of bringing a huge amount of people back to him. We want to see people become Christ followers. We want to bring them back. We want to make disciples. And in order for us to be biblical and make disciples, we have to follow what Jesus says, and it's very clear he says that we're supposed to baptize them. The early church baptized. Acts 2 shows a time they get up, they preach, Peter rocks it. You know, people loved it. People probably podcasted that thing like crazy. And a lot of tweets about, man, great talk from Peter today. And 3,000 people were baptized in one day. 3,000 people. 3,000 people. 3,000 people. That's a lot of people. We're going to do that one day, I'm telling you. It's going to be awesome. But here's the deal. Jesus commanded it. They did it. He said, go baptize. And so they said, you know what? Jesus said we should baptize. You know what that means we should do? It means we should baptize. And so Jesus commanded it. We do it. So the answer to the next question, which would be, how do we do it? I told you it's believer's baptism by immersion. But why do we do it that way? Why do we baptize in that way? Why do we do believer's baptism? Why do we do that? Here's why. It's because we want to be consistent with the Bible. We do it because Jesus commanded it. We do it in a manner that's consistent with the New Testament. All right, as I said at the top, we believe in what's called believer's baptism by immersion. And what I want to do is I want to break that down for you. I want to explain believer's baptism, and then I want to explain by immersion. So let's start with believer's baptism. What that means is we baptize people who have made a decision on their own to follow Jesus Christ. That's who we baptize. Only people who have decided on their own accord to say, I'm going to live my life for Christ. I want him to be my Savior. Those are the people we baptize. And it's because every single account in the New Testament that we see, every single one, baptism comes after someone has a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. Every single time. Now, I know what some of you are saying. I was baptized as a baby. So what does that mean for me? Let me say this. Lots of churches baptize infants. And I have no problem with it. I was raised Methodist, and I was baptized as a baby. But let me tell you how we view that baptism as a baby. What we view that as is your family coming before God and their church and saying, we are going to do everything we can as the adults, as the parents of this child. We dedicate them to God. We say before God and this church that we're going to do everything in our power to raise them in a home that will point them towards Christ. And we have no problem with that. We do that here at Wellspring. We did it just a few weeks ago. We do baby dedication. But people always want to talk about infant baptism. They want to ask. So here's what I want to do. For just a quick moment, I'm going to open up my Bible here. And I want to read to you out of the Bible. It really is the Bible. I'm not joking. I want to read to you what the Bible says about infant baptism. Okay? So let's turn to... Well, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. It's not in here. Ever. There's not one mention in the Old Testament or the New Testament about infant baptism. It's not there. It's not there. Because baptism is for believers. Baptism is an act of obedience that we choose to do after we've given our life to Christ. So I know what you're asking now. But I was baptized as an infant. Does that mean I need to get baptized again? And here's our answer. Here's our very PC answer to that question. Yes. You do. Yes, you do. I was. And it's not because we're saying what you did didn't count. We just view it differently. We view believers' baptism as something, get this, for believers. And I don't know about you, but when I was, 6 weeks old, I didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't get it. I didn't understand. We believe baptism is an act, get this, an act of obedience, and it's a conscious decision that we do in response to a life-changing decision to follow Christ. So I'm going to go a step further than infant baptism. If you grew up in a denomination or in a background that took you through a confirmation process, and hear me, I know plenty of people that went through the confirmation process and had an experience with Jesus Christ and became believers. One of my best friends growing up, his mother did. I have no problem with that. But only you know, if you went through that confirmation process and just did it because your mom wanted you to and you had family coming in town and you got to wear the white robe and you were going to have a party afterwards and so you were like, this sounds fun, so I'm going to do this. And then you got, you know, baptized in that process. I'm just wanting you to know, believer's baptism is still something you need to do. It's still something you need to do. Maybe you need to become a believer in the first place. But if since then you've actually had a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ, and then you say, yeah, but I was baptized when I was 10. Were you really? Or are you just sprinkled with water? Because baptism is an act of obedience. Baptism is something we do in response to a life change. And I'm sorry if I'm trying to be so cool. I don't want to offend anybody, but I want to teach you the truth. I want to teach you what we believe. This is essential. This is essential to being a Christ follower. So that's why we do it. We do it that way, believer's baptism, because we believe that is consistent with the way it was done in the New Testament. Every single account, every single one in the New Testament of someone being baptized, it was an act of obedience after a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Every single one. And so that's how we do it. Now, The second part, we said believer's baptism, but also by immersion. You know, what that means, immersion, it means dunk. It means we're going to put you under the water. All right, and here's why. The Greek word, I'm going to throw some Greek out at you. Yeah, I went to seminary, watch out. The Greek word there is baptizo. And it's funny, most words we actually translate. Baptizo, we actually decided to transliterate and actually just call it baptize because it's baptizo, and we're scared of what it actually means, because baptizo actually means to dip, to dunk, to submerge. That's what it means. It doesn't mean sprinkle with water. It doesn't even mean douse you with a super soaker, though that would be awesome. But that's not what it means. The word baptizo means to immerse. And again, every single account in the New Testament is of someone being submerged under the water and coming back up. Jesus himself, when he was baptized, was submerged under the water and came back up. Every single one. So we do it that way here at Wellspring because we want to try as hard as we can to be as consistent as we possibly can with the New Testament. Okay, that's all we do it. But I know some of you are still sitting there thinking, but why does it really matter? I mean, this is nice and all, and understand baptism, understand believe in baptism, yeah, but the immersion thing, why does it really matter? I mean, if in my heart I'm being obedient, why does it matter that I get dunked rather than not get sprinkled or super soaked or whatever it is you want to do? Why does it matter? And here's why it matters to us. All right, it's because we believe baptism is a consecrated event. Yeah, I just threw consecrated out at you. What you gonna do with that? Consecrated basically means to set apart, to declare as sacred. And we believe that baptism is a sacred event. Not so much because of the event itself, but hear this. It's because of what the event baptism, what it symbolizes. Okay, what baptism symbolizes. See, the Bible, it teaches that when we begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, it teaches that we literally become new people. Maybe you've heard the verse. I want to read it to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Now see, we believe that baptism is designed by God, and it really is a picture of what happened to us when we experience salvation. That's what baptism is. It is a sacred symbol of what actually happened to us. I want to read you another verse. Check this out. Colossians 2:12. Write this one down because you're going to want to go back and read this one again. Look at this. This is Paul. Listen to what Paul says. He says, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. See, baptism is a symbol. It's just a symbol. I'm not trying to say it. Baptism does not save you. You do not have to get baptized to be saved. You don't. But it's just a beautiful image. It's a reminder to us, and I'm going to explain it in a minute. It's a reminder to other people of what's happened to us. And I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to imagine visualizing death, burial, and resurrection if somebody's just sprinkling a little water on my head. That's not the picture. The picture is death, burial, and resurrection. Now, I want to show you what I mean, because for some reason, baptism, yeah, Eric, come on up here. Where's Eric? I'm asking Eric to come up here as he's coming up. Baptism, it freaks people out, and I really don't get it. Every time we do starting point, we have people say, yeah, I need to be baptized, and then I'll always throw out, but I'm not ready. I'm like, what are you afraid of? I mean, you afraid we're going to put you down there and keep you down? you know, I don't know. Everybody know Eric? This is Eric, by the way. Say hey to Eric. There you go. So here's what I want to do. I want to show you what we'll do when you get baptized. Okay, notice I say when you'll get baptized, because I believe you all will if you haven't been. What up? Here's how we do it. All right, we'll say, hello there, sir.
Hello.
All right. And we'll have you in the water, and we'll say a little something. You know, we'll explain what's going on, and we'll ask you to cross your arms and hold your nose, okay? And then literally, we'll take you under the water, and we bring you back up. We go under the water, and we bring you back up. All right, and I want you to watch, because we talked about the symbolism. I want you to watch it. That's what happens. The symbolism of is, you know, death, burial, and then resurrection. Because that's what's happened to each of us when we begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our old self is gone, dead, buried, and we are born again to follow Jesus Christ. All right, one more time. I got to show it to them one more time. So this is the picture. I just like doing this. This is the picture, okay? So when you come to get baptized, we'll say, you know, because of your desire to follow, you know, because of your belief in Jesus Christ and your desire to follow him in baptism, I'll baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then I'll take you down. And if you've been really bad, we'll hold you under for a while. Just get all the funk off. And then we'll bring you back up, and everyone will clap. Right? All right. Thank you, Eric. Thank you. Thank you. But that's the picture. That's the image. That's the sacred image that God left with each of us. And the last thing he said is, go and make disciples. And oh, by the way, do this. Make sure you do this. Make sure you baptize. Because it's a sacred image. It's a sacred picture of what's happened to you. It's a symbol of what's happened. And again, because I know you, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, Trey, it's a symbol. But really, what does it matter? At the end of the day, what does this really matter that we do it or that we don't do it? And here's what I say, two things. One, like I told you at the top, Jesus commanded it. And when Jesus tells me to do something, I try really hard to do it. But two, the reason it matters is because you and I both think symbols are important. We do think symbols are important. If you've been around church at all in your life, you have heard baptism described as this wedding ring. You've heard it described as a symbol. I'm married if I have this ring on or not. This ring is just a symbol of what I think is important. It's a symbol of what happened to me one day back in April of 2003. But there's actually a better image, I think, for baptism than this ring. When I think of baptism, the picture that comes to my head, I think of a graduation ceremony. You've all either participated in a graduation ceremony or you've been to a graduation ceremony. There's two major ones, high school and college, although my kids have already graduated four times. And so I think it's going to get watered down. They graduated from like first semester. Yay, we graduated. I don't get it. But for us, think about it. When you actually graduated from high school, or when you graduated from college, or your kids graduated from high school or college, or your friends, or whoever did, man, it was a big deal. You invite your friends. You invite your family. You get all dressed up in this silly robe and hat. It's a really, you know, your parents come, and they sit, and they clap even though they're not supposed to. And everybody looks at them, and they're like, whatever, that's my kid, and I'm thrilled. You don't know how shocked I am. He's walking. So, I paid for that. I'm clapping for that. And, but we do, man, we make it very important. We get really excited to walk across the aisle and take this piece of paper they hand us. And then we do the strangest thing. We take pictures that we've taken at this event, and we take them home. We put them on walls, and we frame them, and we display them prominently. We even take this sheet of paper that they handed us when we walked across the room. We take that sheet of paper and we frame that. That piece of paper doesn't mean anything. I don't know if you know that or not. You didn't even have to go to graduation. You were done the second you finished your last test. No one's ever in my life asked me for my diploma. Ever. No one's ever said, let me see that. I don't even know where it is. All right? It didn't really mean anything. But it was a symbol. You did it to show the world or to show your parents or to show whoever that this was important to me. I've gone through something. I'm now different. And I want you to know about it. I want you to know what's happened to me. And see, I believe baptism is exactly the same thing. The event's already happened. We've already begun a relationship with Jesus Christ. That happens first. But then baptism is this thing we do. It's this symbol. It's this thing that we get to do to proclaim to the world, this is what's important to me now. And here's why we do it. It's the last point. We believe in believers' baptism by immersion, and we want you to do it because we believe it is contagious. We believe it's contagious. Because when you share with the world what Jesus Christ has done in your life, guess what? People start to notice. And they start to watch. And then they start to pick up, wait a minute. He's actually different. He just got cut off in traffic and didn't take out his gun. Interesting. That one's about me. See, just like that graduation ceremony, baptism is our chance to publicly declare to the world, this is what's important to me now. It's our public declaration that our life will be different from this point forward. We're not saying we'll be perfect, because we've talked about that. Nobody's going to be perfect. But what we are saying is that we're going to be different. And as your friends and family, whoever you invited to be a part of that event, as they see that and they walk with you, their lives will be changed. Because that's how it works. That's how Jesus designed it. That's how he set it up. That's how we can say in 2 Corinthians 5, you are my ambassadors. It is in your hands. You go and speak to a lost and hurting world and say, come back to God. And the way we start that is by publicly declaring to the world that we're changed, that we're different. And we do that through believers' baptism. And we do that through believers' baptism by immersion, because Jesus commanded it. And we do it because that's the way that's consistent with the way it was done in the New Testament. And we do it because it is a consecrated symbol, a consecrated picture of a radical interchange. And we do it because it's contagious. Because as Jesus changes our life and we tell others about it, he'll change theirs. And that's the ball game, folks. That's what it's all about. That's why Wellspring exists. Is to proclaim to the world, he's real, he's changed me, and he can change you. So here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to end today. I know there are folks in the room today that need to take this step. You need to take this step of baptism. So here's what we've done. Not today, but a week from today. Sunday, July 11th, 6 p.m. We're going to meet at the beach. 37th North Access. We're going to meet there, and we're going to baptize. We're going to baptize people who are coming forward and saying, you know what? My life's been changed, and it's time to make it public. And here's what I want you to do. If you need to be baptized, get out your connection card right now. Write baptism on it. We'll contact you this week. And we'll set it up. But here's the important part. I want you to invite your friends. I want you to invite your family. I want you to invite your neighbors. I want you to invite everybody you can. Just like you were graduating. I want you to invite them to say, come see what's happened in my life. Come see how I'm different. Come see how I've changed. You've got to come be a part of this event. You've got to come check it out. So if that's you today, take the step, man. There's nothing stopping you. Some of you may say, you know what? I'm not even close to baptism yet. I need to begin the process first. That's fine. Begin the process. It's very simple. Jesus, I trust you. Help me. There's no magic prayer. It's just a decision. It's saying, I can't do this on my own. Jesus has paid the price for my sins, and I'm going to accept his forgiveness. I'm going to live for him. But here's what I want you to do. If you want to make that decision, if you want to talk to somebody about it, there's a place on your connection card that says, I'm interested in becoming a Christ follower. Just check that box. Check it for us. We'll call you this week. We'll walk you through the process, and we can baptize you Sunday too. It's going to be fun. We're We're not going to baptize 3,000 on Sunday, but we will someday. We will someday. Because God wants to do something crazy here. But it starts with His people stepping out in faith and stepping out in obedience and saying, yes, this is a simple thing I can do that I haven't done. This is a simple step I can take to be obedient to God and follow Him in believer's baptism. So I can make it known to the world that I'm changed. So I make it known to the world I'm different. So sign up. Join us next Sunday night. And just get ready for what God wants to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your patience with us, Father, for involving us in your work. God, I just thank you right now for those in the room who have already taken the step. Lord, I ask right now you just speak to the hearts and minds of those who are considering. Lord, just take away the fear, take away the doubt. Lord, just affirm their desire to obey you and follow you in baptism and proclaim to the world that they are different. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen.